What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
You can almost sense the worry, the disillusionment, the concern in the TFC fan base. They lost a game at home, 3-0, of course, in the weekend. Their worst loss of the season to KC. Could have been worse if not for Luca Gavron. And now they're at high-flying Vancouver this weekend. The big rivals. J-Mo's here and Jimmy's here. I'm Shams. All right, fellas. The three questions we'll get to today will be, does ownership need to loosen the purse strings at TFC? Out of the current forwards, who has the potential to solve the goal-scoring woes, if anyone? And is there any chance that TFC can beat Vancouver this weekend? Let's start here with the whole ownership purse strings. You wrote about this yesterday at tfcrepublic.ca, J-Mo, that there is... Is it an understanding from the club that the money won't perhaps be there like it has in the past? And is that a real concern right now as they try and fix this problem?
Yeah, so from multiple people that I've talked to, sources have said that, they're on a set budget, which isn't surprising. I mean, a lot of teams operate under a tight budget. But in this case, it doesn't sound like there's a huge appetite from MLSE to sort of give Jason Hernandez more money to go out and bring in attacking reinforcement. And that, if a new forward is going to be brought in, it's going to have to be done, via one of the league's mechanisms where there's no or very little cost sort of involved. So whether that's a trade or signing a player on a free transfer or some other sort of league mechanism. It's not surprising. I mean, they've when you look at sort of like the transfers that they spent recently, Kevin Long, there was a transfer fee involved there. Okay, I think that's worked out so well. Richie Larea, they had to pay out, and it's unfortunate that he's sort of got injured and he's going to be out for a while. Debbie Flores for the Hungarian club, so that's kind of worked out well. But the other one is Cassius Mailula, who they paid the South African team last year. And, fair to say, I don't think that's worked out quite that well. Herdman, I asked John Herdman last month about, why he hasn't sort of, saw fit to give Cassius some playing time this year. And he just says he doesn't, there are just other players above him that he sees that are more MLS ready to compete. So, it's kind of been hit or miss in terms of like the transfers, and sort of spending money. And so, yeah, everything I've been told is that, Jason Hernandez shouldn't be expected to get sort of more money to sort of spend his way out of this problem. That if, they are going to have bring in, again, attacking reinforcements, which I think we all agree they desperately need a new number nine, he's going to have to get creative and either pull off a trade or sign someone who's a free agent who's out of contract.
But Jimmy, okay, if there was a player available within MLS, you would think it would have been done though in the offseason, right? So at this point, is it just a question of bringing someone in, a change, try something out? Or must it be a little bit more strategic than that?
Well, I mean, you're right. In the offseason, I had an awful lot of time to figure out who they need, what players they want. And you didn't see much action. And now it's, I think they're kind of a bit hesitant to make sure that the player that they do get in, it's got to be the right player. One that's going to fit John's system, too, that is going to be productive, because I think they've brought in some players that haven't been productive. And like I said before, all eyes are going to be on this next big move that they have and what players are coming in. So it's going to have to be a strategic plan, and they got to make sure that they get it right. You know, I know we talk about, you know, is the money going to be there? If you're the board right now, you spent a hell of a lot of money last season for nothing really that was productive, if not the worst season TFC's ever had. So you can see them being reluctant now moving forward, thinking, okay, well, we've spent an awful lot of money. These are the players that you wanted, and it didn't go according to plan. And now you want more money? And we're having an okay start to the season, but I think they'll probably wait a little bit before they see where they are, if they're pushing for a playoff spot. But if they start going the way that they did last season, there's no chance that board's going to allow them to spend more money.
But that was different management too, though, right? Yeah. We know that they could say, well, you know, we gave you all this money and it's the wrong players, or perhaps, you know, at least to this point, they haven't panned out. But that was Bob Bradley making the major calls there. It wasn't the Jason Hernandez being in charge along with John Herbman. Teamwork, right, JMO? So, I mean, not that the board care, I suppose.
No, they don't.
In that regard. But yeah. I can see why the Herbman-Hernandez combo could feel a bit aggrieved, saying we're being labeled here for the sins of the past.
Well, I don't know if it's them being labeled for the sins of the past. I think it's just the reality of sort of the situation. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to speak for the MLSE board, but I would think that they would kind of look at things and look at sort of the money that's been spent, to say nothing of the fact that, you know, we haven't talked about the DPs in terms of Lorenzo and Fede, and they're making a combined, what, 19, 20 million between them? They've certainly looked good this year, but I mean... I don't think I'd be out of line in saying that they haven't come close to sort of fulfilling, you know, their contracts, right? So, you know, I can understand why MLSE would certainly be a little bit hesitant about giving Hernandez and Herdman, you know, more money to throw at this problem, because it hasn't necessarily worked out that, you know, that sort of game plan certainly hasn't worked out the last, you know, 2 years under Bob, of just throwing money at the problem. So I completely get where they're coming from, and it forces Jason Hernandez and John to be a little bit creative right here. And look, Jason is a bright guy. He's a former MLS player, a former assistant GM. He knows sort of the vagaries of, you know, the complicated MLS roster rules, and he can sort of pull it. I think he knows how to pull at every lever. So, I mean, we're really going to see his, you know, his acumen and his managerial mettle as a GM in terms of what he can do here, because he has to get creative. He can't just sort of go out and spend his way out of this problem. He's going to have to come up with creative solutions. So it'll be interesting to watch.
I was perusing the out of contract players across world football. All right. And there ain't much.
No,
it really isn't. Well, actually, well, there is. There's a lot. But I don't think there's any solution to the problem here.
No.
Keith Pelley arrives as head of MLSE. Does that have any bearing at all on this, JMO? I don't know if he's a soccer guy or not.
I don't think so. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't know a terrible amount about him, but, you know, I don't suspect that, you know, he's going to come in and sort of look at sort of the books and say, well, you know, we have to spend more on TFC. You know, I suspect his sort of main objective or his main sort of project will be kind of looking at the Leafs and the Raptors, and TFC will be an afterthought. I don't think my sense of that, this isn't sort of like a Tim Leiwicki hiring. Tim was someone who, when he came in, He made TFC an absolute priority and, you know, kind of told them to dream big and to go after it. I don't get the sense that you know, that Keith Pelley's going to come in with the same sort of directive and tell TFC to spend big and go big.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, when you were in the head office, do you have much dealings with the board? Was that a little bit above your pay grade?
No, you had a couple, but more so just in preparation for the board meetings. Putting all the financials and documents together that get presented in front of the board. That was more or less what I was doing. I didn't have to go in and present. No, but, you know, the thing is too, I think with, and Jim was right, you know, they're going to be looking at TFC. Is it going to be a priority? No, I think they're going to look at the investments that they made. They'll be asking what's the ROI on the money that they've put into it and what they're getting back out of this. And I don't think they'll be doing too much until they start seeing a little bit of a return in their investment.
And let's be honest, one bad result, it's been a good start to the season, right? And yeah, goal scoring is clearly an issue, especially with Lorenzo out now for 5 or 6 weeks at least, I would think. So if you look at the current forwards, we have Prince Owusu, who's got the most minutes so far. He's got the one goal. DeAndre Kerr's just got back to match fitness, it seems. Ayo Ekinola has got some minutes as well. Who has the potential to solve the goal scoring woes? Is there someone, Jimmy, in that team right now, do you think has that potential?
I don't know, Sharms. I mean, when you're looking at this right now and thinking, okay, you know, is there someone there that's got a great deal of experience and can bang in goals? Probably Akinola is the only one. I think what he's got, 82 matches now, 15 goals. Then you've got, you know, Jordan Perutza is 23, but he's still unproven at this level. TFC 2, yeah, he banged in some goals, but it's still a massive jump. And then you look at Prince that's come in. He's a bit older, experienced player, but, you know, is he that guy that's going to get you 15 to 20 goals in a season? I don't think so. I think the only one really, for me, if you can get him fit, get him healthy, and get him working, would be Akinola. He's probably the only one that can bang you a good few goals in this season. But other than that, I'm not sure. Yeah, Spicer, what, 3 games now? He's got a goal for you, but coming out wide, but that number nine position, I don't think there's much there. I think maybe your only other option really is to put Bernadeschi up top as a nine and let him go.
Which hasn't worked out so far, J-Mo, really, when he's been given the opportunity.
No, so. I think he works better out wide.
I agree with you. I'm just saying. If you've got to figure out who's going to score your goals.
Yeah. I mean, to answer your question, James, I look at this current crop of forwards, and there's no one there that I think can lead them out of the doldrums here. Maybe you can make the case for DeAndre Kerr, but even then, I don't see him banging in, you know, 10 to 15 goals. I think he's a promising young player, and he just needs more time to develop. But, you know, he's not the solution to the goal scoring.
No.
Ayo Akinola, I think he's just suffering from I don't know what it is, maybe a lack of confidence or whatever, but, you know, I don't think he's scored since 2022, or he's got 2 goals in his last, whatever it is, game since 2022. I don't think he's the answer. Jordan Perutza, lovely guy, but, you know, still unproven. I mean, to be fair, and hasn't really been given the chance, but I don't see him as the solution. Prince Owusu has been pretty solid in terms of his hold-up play and what he can do physically, you know, in and around the box, but I don't see him as someone who's going to break out and score 12 to 15 goals this season. So, yeah, I mean, there's no one there that sort of inspires any confidence for me that they can sort of, you know, take the things by the scruff of the neck and be a regular supplier of goals this season.
Yeah, I agree with you, J-Mo. And I think when you look at it and you look at all of them, you know, they're not proven goal scorers. They don't have a record behind them where they're coming going, hey, listen, last season I scored 15. The season before that I've scored 17. It's, you know, they bagged a few here and there, but we need a prolific goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, Ayo had that sort of breakout season in 2020 at the MLS, whatever it was, the tournament down in Florida, but that's 4 years ago. I mean, really, he hasn't been the same player, you know, ever since, not even close. So, you know, Jimmy's quite right. There's no one here that has kind of like a proven track record, aside from that one kind of off season from Akinola, of being proven goal scorers in this league. So, again, I just don't see any of them being able to, you know, break out and be legitimate goal scorers this year in a really, you know, impactful way.
And listen, it wasn't as big an emergency prior to Insigne's injury, obviously, because he was knocking in some goals, right? So you had a way you could muscle through and find a solution in the short term, at least. Now he's out 5-6 weeks or more. Suddenly it turns into a bit of an emergency. But are we losing sight here that this was always going to be a bit of a rebuilding year anyway? And perhaps the early results, surprising results, blinkered the observers a little bit, thinking, oh, actually, maybe this team's going to be all right after all. Got a chance. This is always going to be a rebuild. They knew the issue before the season started. I'm not going to say they're going to fall off the wagon completely here, but perhaps it's a bit of a reality check that, you know what, they were always going to be one injury away from being in some concern.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think we have to remember this is a you know, a team coming off its worst ever season in franchise history was dead last year, who had what the worst, either the worst or second worst defensive record and, you know, the worst offensive record in the league. So, and they retain much of that sort of roster. I mean, there's been some change. Obviously, Debbie Flores coming in and Matty Longstaff and Kevin Long and a few other names, but it's essentially the same squad. So I think they've actually done quite well to get the 10 points and where they are right now. They're far from the finished article. I mean, there is a lack of consistency there that still has to sort of be sort of worked out. And, you know, the, I think I've said this before. I mean, when you look at their wins, none of them have kind of been like overly sort of dominant, convincing wins, right? I mean, they played well in those games, but they've kind of just got over the line. It hasn't been sort of easy for them.
Yeah.
We're not at that point yet where they can just sort of dominate a team from beginning to end and win quite comfortably. So it's, you know, it's a work in progress. And I think, you know, the game against Kansas City just was served as a reminder about that.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
And now it's Vancouver, who are just flying high, looking really good. Their coach is back on the sidelines after suspension. Ali Ahmed's got his first start last time out. Ryan Gold scored his first goal. Last time out, in second in the West right now. Any chance TFC can get a result in Vancouver?
I think so. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, you know,
nothing's impossible, Jim. But do you think they will?
I could see it. I mean, I could see them getting a point there. It wouldn't surprise me. I think, you know, Vancouver. You know, as thrilling as that win was against Portland last week, it just showed you that they are kind of somewhat vulnerable, right? I mean, they were up 2-0, and then they throw that lead away, and then it takes a late goal from Raposo, what, in the 86th or 87th minute to pull it out. So, yeah, I don't think Vancouver infallible, and I you know, it's playing on the road is tough, playing on turf is tough, especially with, you know, TFC dealing with so many injuries. But it wouldn't surprise me if TFC could somehow managed to get a result. Just, you know, when you look at their, you know, they've gotten results so far in New England and in Cincinnati, two places that aren't easy for road teams to collect points, and they've done it. So I don't think Vancouver is going to be that much more difficult, to be perfectly honest.
Jimmy, you played there before in Vancouver, obviously a while ago now. How would you rate the MLS experience in Vancouver for a road team?
Well, it is tough. You're on turf. You're on artificial turf, first of all. And that's always difficult, especially when you're used to playing and training on grass. And you also take into consideration the flight as well. It's a long flight. It's a long haul getting out there. Then you got the time zone. So it is a difficult place to get to. And it is a hard place to play. I'd imagine it would be a good crowd for that match. And look, you know, this is a team right now who's playing very, very good football. Vinny Sartini, for me, is a very, very good tactical coach. He's got them playing good football at the moment. They played, what, 5 games? They can score goals, 10 goals now already this season. So, you know, it's a team that plays with a lot of energy, a good brand of football, and tactically are very, very good. I like the way he reads games and he solves problems. So I think TFC is going to have a tough match, but I can see TFC getting something out of it. Can I see a win getting 3 points? No, I can't see that, but I can see a draw. But it'd be a very difficult one to get.
You can't coach goal scoring, right, Jimmy? So if you're John Herdman and the coaching staff and the build-up to this one, it's all about how do we contain the attack, all right? Let's sit back. Let's defend. Is that really what we'd expect to see from TFC until they do figure this thing out?
Yeah, I don't know if they've got the players now to be on the front foot. Maybe they will catch Vancouver off guard, because I'm sure Vancouver's probably thinking, well, you know, maybe they're going to drop a little bit. They don't have the firepower that they have. Maybe they're going to look to catch us on the counterattack. They're going to give us a little bit of possession. And then when the opportunity is right for them, then they're going to come at us. But, you know, it will be a tactical game. John likes to be a tactical coach. He likes to read situations. So it will be a chess match for sure.
Injury-wise, J-Mo, where is the team at right now? Any chance to see Sean Johnson maybe between the posts just yet?
Potentially. I mean, I saw him in training on Tuesday, and he was fully involved. So, you know, whether John goes straight back to him after sort of the form that Luka Gavrin has shown over the last four games will be one of the more interesting questions. Nixon Gomis was training this week. So it looks like he's a little bit ahead of schedule. You know, I don't know if he would be fully available for this weekend. Maybe he gets some minutes off the bench, if at all. But guys like Lorenzo and Larea and Petretta and Cervania, they're not even sort of training with the team right now. So they're still quite a ways away.
Have you seen Richie around the club at all?
No, I haven't even seen him at training. I mean, Petretta's been around and Cervania has been around. Even Lorenzo's been around, but haven't seen sight or sound of Larea since he had the surgery in London.
Hey, Jimmy, how's that work out for the injured player usually? I mean, do they encourage them to be around the team, or are you just given your time, get better, return when you can? How does it usually work?
Yeah, normally you're around the team. You know, that kind of keeps your spirits up a little bit, but at the same time, it's mentally fatiguing as well, and it does drain you, and it becomes actually very depressing a lot of the times when you are injured, especially when you're out for, you know, a good few months. Coming in every day, you know, you can't help the team. You hear the banter, but you can't get involved. And pretty much all you're doing is in the gym and getting treatment. So, you know, sometimes the physio staff will give you a couple of days off, or maybe they'll tell you to come in after the players have left, just so that you can kind of relax and not think about it too much. But it is definitely a mental game when you're out for a long period of time.
And to be fair to Richie, I mean, this surgery wasn't in like Canada, right? He had to go to Europe to have it. So I think it's somewhat, I mean, he still might be there in terms of recuperating. So it's somewhat understandable that he's not exactly around the team all that much right now.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, that would have been a storyline, wouldn't it? Going to Vancouver, seeing Richie back there, having spent a few months there. I mean, that rivalry, Jimmy, I mean, we shouldn't dismiss it, right? You've played in some big games that have really affected Vancouver in your career. The Miracle of Montreal being the most famous one. Where somehow you dug deep, found a way to smash Montreal, and Vancouver were in the stands. They were expecting to celebrate and raise that trophy, and that motivated you as a team.
Yeah, they made a mistake there, didn't they? That really did motivate us even more, walking by them and just seeing them all in their tracksuits. We were like, no, not today. This is not happening.
That was a crazy one.
But you know, it's always a good game, Toronto and Vancouver. So, you know, for me, it was I enjoyed those games. I enjoyed that Canadian kind of derby, so to speak. Yeah, it's a long way away, but, you know, it's just being it's more that pride of Canada. You want to be the best team in Canada, and you want to make sure when you do play Montreal and you do play Vancouver that you get one up on them. And it's more for that bragging right as well.
But don't you feel, I mean, there's not the same intensity between Toronto and, or maybe I'm misstating it. It seems to me like there's a genuine animosity between TFC and Montreal, right? Whereas TFC and Vancouver, I don't know that there's necessarily that sort of hate or, you know, that we got to beat these
bastards. Yeah, well, I'll tell you that, JMO, there used to be. I remember when we were playing against them, and because there was a lot of Canadians on the team back then. With Jeff Clark and Marty Nash. And so they had quite a few. Nick Dasovich played for them. And, you know, so many players were playing for them at the time. And in Toronto, we had, you know, myself and Marco Retta. We had a lot of Toronto guys that were playing for TFC at the time. So that rivalry was good. And that's where that, you know, on the pitch, there was a lot of scuffs and talking. And, you know, but it's maybe it's died down a little bit because maybe there isn't as many Canadians representing those cities as what we used to have.
I suppose part of it is with the Montreal is that we have got that playoff experience as well.
Yeah.
Against each other, right?
You know, well, there's Vancouver. The same conference as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But still, listen, let's start fanning the flames of this rivalry. We need more nasty rivalries, I think, in North American football. That's how we establish ourselves as a soccer nation for sure. But it should be interesting. Listen, if they can find goals, you're right, they could get something out of it. But I know Vancouver are, I believe, the plus 400 favorites in this one, entering this match. So we shall see. JMO, anything you want to get to from tfcrepublic.ca this week?
Just that I did sort of sat down with Luka Gavrin yesterday at training and had a pretty thoughtful interview with him. So that story's up on TFC Republic. And I talked to JJ Adams, who's the Vancouver-based reporter for the Whitecaps out for the Vancouver province today, and that story will be up tomorrow. So just kind of him providing his sort of perspective on this TFC versus Vancouver match.
Well, we'll definitely ask Ali Ahmed about this match. We're talking to him on Whitecaps Three Questions here on Footy Prime in about 5 minutes' time, actually. So we best say farewell. JMO, Jimmy, thank you so much. Keep following us. We are footyprime.com. And subscribe, of course, to our YouTube channel. Laters.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Beauty. Thanks, boys.
Hold on, guys. Good job.
Cool. Yeah, excellent.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.